Welcome to Frankly Speaking. I'm Ron Shaka for George Mason University, the state university in Northern Virginia. Women's sports and Title IX are topics that have often been covered in the same conversation. Although Title IX no longer commands the attention that it once did, its effects are still being felt throughout athletic programs across the country. Today, we would like to discuss a few of the changes occurring in women's sports. What are some of the advances being made? What are some of the setbacks? And where are women's athletics going in the future? With me to discuss a few of the developments in the women's sports picture is Sue Collins, the Assistant Athletic Director of George Mason University and a former women's volleyball coach at Ohio State University. Welcome to Frankly Speaking, Sue.
Thank you very much, Ron.
Sue, you dove headfirst into women's athletics, first as a coach and now as an administrator. What stirred your interest in women's athletics?
I guess my interest began as a participant when I was in grade school. I was actively involved in tennis and in swimming, and from there played some interscholastic sports at a very low level during high school and then on into college, played on a number of different teams. And so I've always been an active participant, and that led me into a coaching career and an administrative career.
Well, you chose the collegiate level to start as a professional, or that's where you are now. Well, why did you choose the collegiate level?
Well, I chose the collegiate level because I really wanted to work with highly skilled athletes. And it's been very challenging. I can remember when I had the opportunity to work with my first Olympian, and that was really kind of a scary experience to work with somebody of that skill level. But it's really very exciting to work with very highly skilled young women.
Now, there have been a number of changes in women's sports since you started coaching. What are some of the advantages that today's women coaches have over women coaches when you started?
Well, I think the main advantage is the fact that they have had expert coaching. And if I, as a player, have had some outstanding coaches to model, then when I have the opportunity to coach myself, I have a good basis from which to draw when I do my own coaching.
Now, as a direct or an indirect result of Title IX, women's athletics has seen a marked increase in participants, spectators, funding, and also skill levels. To what factors do you attribute the increased skill levels?
Well, some of the things we've just talked about, first of all, of course, better coaching, and secondly, the girls have had an opportunity to participate from a younger age. They get involved in youth soccer or the ponytail softball, and they've been out running around since they were 4 or 5, just like the boys have done for years and years. And so by the time they get into the high school and they come to the college level, their skill level is much higher because they've had more time to practice and refine their skills.
And the coaches, has there been any competition, do you feel, between men's and women's program for the top coaches?
That's still true today, yes, that's very evident. And I think the reason for that is twofold. First of all, you have fewer women who have had experienced coaches, and so they haven't had the opportunity to learn to develop coaching skills. So there's fewer of those people. And the fact that, take a sport like women's volleyball, there are a lot of men that play the sport on a recreational level and on the college level, and there are fewer opportunities for them to coach on the college level. There are more women's teams. In fact, women's volleyball is the second most popular sport in women's competition. And so there are more opportunities for coaching spots, and so more men actually come out to coach.
A change in Title IX here at George Mason. I mean, where do we see some of the effects of Title IX?
I think some of the major effects would be seen in increased budgets for women's sports, as well as an increased number of sports. Just last year, we added women's soccer at George Mason, and we had an outstanding first year. The team played very, very well and ended up in the NCAA championship. They finished in the quarterfinals.
Good. Recently, now, there's been a change of governing bodies in women's sports. The change from the Association of Intercollegiate Athletics for Women, the AIAW, to the National Collegiate Athletic Association, the NCAA, the change was an important one. Can you describe it and why some of the reasons it took place?
Well, I think the main reason that the change took place is because For years and years, everyone has hoped that there would be one set of rules for all athletes to follow. And I think that was the main thrust. But in some ways, I'm kind of sad that it happened, because I believe that the AIAW, which is the Association for Intercollegiate Athletics for Women, made a definite effort to promote the educational values of athletics. And I think that they spent a lot of time looking at some of the problems that the NCAA had had as a developing organization and had tried to avoid some of those as a very young organization. And the other thing about AIAW is that it offered many opportunities, postseason opportunities, for girls and women's sports. And I think that's something that isn't as well defined in the NCAA. And I am really hoping that in the future that we can take the best of AIAW and the best of the NCAA and have just a really good organization for all men and women.
Now, how have our coaches here at Mason reacted to the change?
I think the main thing that the coaches have had to react to would be the change in rules, and especially those rules with regard to recruiting, because recruiting is the name of the game when you talk about intercollegiate athletics, whether you're talking about a tennis team, a badminton team, or men's basketball. It's really a tough thing to do to recruit, because you have many very fine athletes out there and a lot of schools want the same athlete. And so AIAW rules and NCAA rules are slightly different, and you have to be very aware of the rules so that you don't cause any violations.
Have the athletes voiced any preference in this AIAW versus NCAA?
I don't think the athletes have ever been really involved in knowing the ins and outs of the rules of any organization, be it AIAW or NCAA. I think they'd be just as happy if the United Auto Workers ran a tournament. They just want to be involved in a tournament.
Do you see any of the evils that have affected men's sports programs beginning to creep into women's athletics?
Right there again, I'm going to go right back to recruiting. I think that's the main thing. When you talk about recruiting, a Cheryl Miller, who was an outstanding freshman women's basketball player at Southern California, she probably was recruited by 200, 300 schools. Well, what's going to make the difference to her? People might try anything to recruit an athlete like that, and so we try to be very careful.
Do we have women's athletic scholarships to offer to our top women athletes?
Yes, we do. Women's athletic scholarships have been in existence since 1976, and we have the opportunity to offer a young woman a scholarship in the amount as much as a part of a tuition up to what we call a full ride, and that would be tuition, room, and board. So there is a lot of money in gaining an athletic scholarship. And those scholarships are awarded strictly on the basis of athletic ability. Of course, you have to be accepted by the school and meet the academic standards year by year at the university that you choose to go to. But we're very excited that we have athletic scholarships for women.
Is this a recent change?
Yes, it is recent. As I said, it's within the last 7 years we've been able to offer athletic scholarships. I'll never forget the first athletic scholarship I offered to a young woman. It's really an exciting thing, and it's only fair, really, that we can offer to outstanding women athletes the same type of financial assistance that we can offer to young men.
Now, support for women's programs has been increasing at the collegiate level, but what about the secondary schools and youth leagues? How have they done as far as promoting girls' athletics?
I think the high schools especially have done just an outstanding job. There is a great deal of support from local newspapers. And anytime you pick up a local newspaper like the Fairfax Journal, you're always going to see some article on both boys and girls sports. And it's really exciting to me to see what they've done on the high school level. What really impresses me about the Northern Virginia area is the outstanding club sports that they have. There's so much soccer and basketball and all kinds of sports for the girls and boys at young ages to get involved in. It's really good to see that so many people, adults, are interested in going out and helping to provide these young people with an opportunity like this.
Now, on the other side are the professional sports. Women are still very limited to any professional opportunities after college. Where do our top female athletes turn now upon graduation from college?
To a career. Unfortunately, there are only two major sports, maybe if you squeeze it out, three sports that you can see women becoming involved in professionally. Those sports would be fairly obvious: golf, tennis, and now track is emerging as another professional opportunity. In the future, it's really hard to tell what we might see. Maybe women's basketball will try again to be a professional sport, but I don't really see too much happening in the next 5 years. Maybe in the next 10, we might see some changes. It'll be interesting.
Do we pressure our top female athletes to go into coaching at all?
Not really. I don't think that you can pressure anybody into going into that type of a career. In the beginning, when intercollegiate sports first started on a major scale, you saw more physical education majors being involved in the sports. And with the participants coming from the field of education, you had the opportunity for more coaches than to come from the teams. The makeup of the teams are extremely different now. We have biology majors and computer science majors and dance majors, and just very few education majors actually end up on our teams. And so we don't see as many people who have played on teams going into the education field, which means not that many women are going to be going into coaching of athletic school teams.
Now, where do you see women's athletics 10 years down the road?
That's an excellent question. In 10 years, I see much more participation. I see much more media support, I'm hoping for. Maybe some more changes in professional athletics. More money in terms of budget so that the teams can play regionally and interregionally. And probably more grant and aid.
How about here at George Mason? How do our women's athletic programs look? How does their future look?
I think their future looks very bright. We're very happy with the sports that we're able to offer to the women at George Mason right now, but of course we're not satisfied. We have 8 sports for women now, and maybe in the next 10 years we'd like to see the addition, hopefully, of sports like women's lacrosse, swimming, and gymnastics. I think, especially in this particular area, the addition of those 3 sports down the road would be an excellent choice.
And as far as recruiting for these sports here at Mason, are we able to attract the top athletes?
I think that's very possible because we have such a stronghold in terms of gymnastics and swimming in this area that there are many, many young students to choose from. So I'm sure that we'll be able to draw many students to not only an outstanding athletic program but to an outstanding academic school.
Well, thank you very much, Sue. We've been talking about women's athletics and a few of the changes affecting its sports programs. My guest has been Sue Collins, Assistant Athletic Director of George Mason University. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University. For more information about our guest or this program, please call 703-323-2138. I'm Ron Shaka for George Mason University, the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.